So we had the assembly or whatever we call it meeting here in Charlotte. I think about 50 to 70 people showed up. That's the one that actually starts the process of selecting the committee, the board that will guide activities in North and South Carolina to promote the both the movement Platform for Progress and engagement with Bosnia and politics and making sure people take responsibility and vote and all of those things. It was excellent. We had good candidates. We selected that board, and now they are all set and ready to establish, organize, run activities. So I was really pleased with the turnout. It was at Queen's University of Charlotte. Nice facility, nice room. It was well organized, good program. All the candidates got out to introduce themselves, got in front of the people, introduced themselves within a minute that was allotted. And in the end, it seemed like there was a lot of excitement about the possibilities. There was a lot of belief in what A needs to happen and B their capability for doing it. I was really glad that Charlotte came on strong, and it was the first constitutional assembly within the United States. And it was good that it happened in Charlotte, just because I'm coming from Charlotte. After that, both Mizera and I went to Chicago. There was a group of young people there who self-organized and decided to organize a fundraising dinner and also organized two appearances. Now, this is within different religious communities, mosques in this particular case, and in one case it was after Friday prayer. They offered those who wanted to stay in the library and talk with me. About 30 people showed up, and it was a nice presentation. I talked for about 45 minutes, and then we had an hour worth of questions and answering. And the other one, they invited people specifically to hear me, and they were actually not shy in promoting Platform for Progress, which shocked me, because normally they don't do that. They shy away of any linking with politics. But also in my presentations there, I never talk about Platform for Progress. I talk about Bosnia, the future, what needs to be done. Don't talk about other parties. Really, just about the content of things that need to happen for the change to happen. So there, I think about 100 people showed up, and also it was 45-minute presentation with about an hour and a half of conversations, questions, answering, and so on. Then the dinner was really interesting. That was in a very nice restaurant. I think it was Afghani restaurant. About 30 people showed up. The organizers really paid for the dinner for all of actually those 3 days, except for the airfare. And there was some money was collected, which is going to be helpful. But most importantly, we created a network. We expanded the network of friends, believers, sparks, as we call them. And again, the same format, about 30 minutes, 45-minute presentation, followed by an hour worth of questions. And we could have gone even longer, but the organizers wanted to bring the cake out, and the cake had a logo of the Platform for Progress on it, so we had to cut the cake and the picture taking and so on. Also, the organizers in Chicago told me that they are prepared and willing to take the leadership at the national level to not only organize Chicago, Illinois, but also the United States, which would be great because they seem to be very capable. One of them pledged to start the series of fundraising dinners in other cities. And so this was the first time that somebody really took on a set of tasks that nobody asked them to, but they said, "We believe in this, let us provide some initiative," contacted me, and I guess the rest is history. They did really well. They will plan again a bigger event in Chicago in September. This is the beginning of that initial committee that needs to organize that constitutional assembly that will then elect the actual committee, the board that will run the operations of the Platform for Progress in Illinois. So overall, I think it was really, really good and successful. Prior to that, it was St. Louis. In the meantime, we had this horrific sequence of events here in Charlotte on campus. And the good thing about the Bosnian community was that many of them reached out and expressed concerns. And so all of that was somehow woven into this set of activities outside of Charlotte.
Just an obvious, the significance, one, is just getting established in Chicago, but then groups there wanting to do something nationally. I mean, does that help you? Does it ease the road a little bit for you, or is it just compensate or help?
Right. This was really interesting, a sequence. First St. Louis and then Chicago. And it opened my eyes in many ways, in the following sense. St. Louis is considered a capital of Bosnia and Herzegovina outside of Bosnia and Herzegovina. It has somewhere between 60 and 80,000 Bosnians and Herzegovinians. So it is assumed to be the leader, natural place to lead any initiative like Platform for Progress. But when we went to Chicago, something else emerged. Chicago also has a very large population, not to the tune of 60 to 80,000. I don't know what the number is. But Chicago is a combination of old emigration and new emigration. The one during the World War II, or right after the World War II, after the communists took over, a lot of people emigrated, and they ended up mostly in Chicago and in Cleveland, that part of the United States. This new immigration during the war, after ethnic cleansing and genocide and so on, in terms of the United States, mostly St. Louis. Of course, there are other large centers like Phoenix, Jacksonville, Atlanta, New York, California, probably San Francisco area, maybe even Los Angeles. But Chicago somehow has a different vibe in terms of the immigration, which I never appreciated before. It is people of different kinds of professions, a well-established network, whereas St. Louis is a new network. And there are a lot of people who have their own businesses, like trucking companies, shops, restaurants, real estate company, lawyers. There are, of course, doctors and there are professors. But the population in Chicago has been there, at least part of it, much longer, and is more Americanized and operates in a different way. And so it's now, I believe, it's an equal contender to be a place where the national leadership could be. I mean, St. Louis is natural, but Chicago seems to be natural as well. And so this group that emerged and said that we are willing to There's a group, wonderful group in St. Louis, but they would like to organize St. Louis and Missouri, whereas the group in Chicago right away said not only in Chicago and Illinois, but also the United States. And we'll see how that will develop, but I was really proud to and glad to hear that, and they say that. And it's very important for us that we attract people who are established, and then Chicago group is a little bit younger than the one in St. Louis, although both of them are a good combination of experience and youth. But I think it was wonderful to have them self-organize, that they have ambitions for a larger position within the Platform for Progress Network, and I was really pleased with everything, the way it happened and the conversations we had and the diversity of the people we encountered. So I think it was very good.
And getting established and organized on the national level, I presume that helps on different levels for you in terms of what, not only what you're trying to do in the United States, but in Bosnia and Herzegovina as well.
Yes. We are also getting voices, people from Bosnia and Herzegovina to say that it is important what we are doing in diaspora and we need to bring them more front and center within the country. Initially, when I started this, people were advising me to hide the fact that I'm coming from diaspora, almost as if they don't have a good reputation in Bosnia. However, over time and through our conversations, we conveyed the message that diaspora is important, they are educated, they have resources, they've learned how to act within democracy, they learn management, they know IT, they know how the Western world works, and that they are needed for any change in the country if we hope to see one anytime soon. And so now people are accepting the fact that the diaspora has a place in the change in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So these messages coming from Chicago and St. Louis are important within Bosnia as well. That you're absolutely right, because our strategy is now becoming more and more obvious. There are young people, women, diaspora, those who have not voted thus far, in addition to trying to capture votes of those who are unhappy with the situation. We are also trying to get into the political arena those who have not participated or had not participated in it prior to the election of 2018. So these messages that are coming out from diaspora that are stronger and stronger, that they are organizing, that they are finding different ways in different countries to get organized. But people back home are seeing now that they are not alone, that there are people outside who truly care, and it's not just those who come for 2-3 weeks during July for vacation and maybe obnoxious and loud and have more money. You know, one of the things that was really interesting, one of the points of resentment back home toward the people from diaspora was they come here and they have more money and they give to all these huge tips. And then when they go home, we are stuck with the expectations to give more tips and we have no money. And I know it's sometimes sounds silly, but it is way of life. People look at things through their perspective, and everything anybody does affects others, and we need to be conscientious of that and behave accordingly, not to cause any hardship to anybody around us.
And this brings up another observation on my part. It seems like from what you're saying, it's almost as if in the past there's been animosity towards the diaspora. You left, you've abandoned the country or whatever, and now it's going up. It's like, okay, right, you can help us now.
Right. And they're also seeing examples from China and India that initially were looking at their diaspora the same way. You abandoned us, you left, you traitors. But now they see their value. These people are becoming heads of large IT companies, very important in operations of large companies, and can bring industries, jobs, and know-how to those countries. And so Bosnia is saying, well, we are in the same position. We have this huge capacity out there. Why don't we use it? There was never true animosity in terms of traitors, just because people know that these people had to leave. It wasn't by choice. First it was ethnic cleansing, then it was genocide, and people had to be placed somewhere. And the countries volunteered, various countries, and volunteered, and we are grateful for that. But people back home understand that this was not by choice for many people. So the animosity is not that much that they left. And it's not that they are not coming back, because there's nothing to come back to. There are no huge jobs. It's not that countries prepared everything for their arrival and they don't want to come. In many parts of Bosnia, they are not welcome. In RS, Republika Srpska, they are not really well. They are not welcome. In Republika Srpska, they are not welcome. They want to stay ethnically clean. So all of that we know, and that's understood. So they are not considered traitors. People just don't like their sometimes perceived arrogance. They come back during July. They change the country because suddenly it's there are a lot of people. They come, their jerseys. There's large letters that are Knicks or Panthers or whatever, and they walk the streets. And they use that half English, half Bosnian. And it is about, and they throw money at things, at people, and just to show how successful they are. That is not welcome in any sense. That creates resentment by many people who stayed there or would like to go but have no option now that all those programs are over. Or never even wanted to leave, just wanted to stay. And so that where the resentment in many cases was born, generated, and present. But it is changing. I think I see it as I conduct these town hall meetings and I talk about diaspora. I don't see pushback. I see a lot of people there who are saying, yes, they need to. Because people realize it's those proceeds or things, that money that people send home to support their relatives and friends account for 20% of the gross domestic product, really, within Bosnia-Herzegovina, all the money flowing into Bosnia-Herzegovina. That is that social cushion that the country cannot afford to offer, but people need and expect. And honestly, if we took that away, if diaspora, as they should one day, just decide to not send any money. I said should do it just to show the country that they are not taking care of their people, which could cause social unrest. That's why they should do it, so that the actual picture is known. But they shouldn't do it, because then people who rely on that money wouldn't be able to live. And that's the substance that they need to have a sort of normal life. So obviously I know you cannot do it because of those people, but I know that at some point we need to stop those artificial sources of income. One is loans that they get from International Monetary Fund, which is happy to give them the money, but under certain conditions. And those loans are not used as development loans to produce, to develop things that will pay the loan by itself. Like you build a road, and then you charge. You make it a toll highway or tollway, and then you get the money to pay off the loan back. No, they actually use it for salaries of the public employees or employees in the public sector, or for the pension funds or for the healthcare funds. And in the end, that's not productive money. That's just an obligation that future generations will have to pay back. And they will not have the country that's functioning country so that they can pay it back. So it is almost like, let's get the money today. Who cares about tomorrow? Somebody else will have to worry about it. So diaspora is really key in many ways, but it can also be more engaged. The country doesn't want it, and the diaspora is saying, well, whatever, instead of being truly engaged, both sides trying to figure out how they benefit from the potential that's real.
Well, it seems like it's almost a connecting of the dots from your campaign messages as well as we as a people, united together, will help make a change, and that's starting to it's starting to resonate some, it seems like.
It's starting to resonate, and it's starting to resonate that basic message that we are all responsible for this. We individually, we are collectively responsible for Bosnia-Herzegovina. We both in the country and outside of the country. And that the need for the new system of values. So in that context of let's take responsibility for our country, in that context it's important to say, well, we are in it together. It's both people at home and people outside of, people within the diaspora. So that message is sinking in, and I'm really glad because recently I've heard or read that the young people within one of the municipalities near Sarajevo called Ilija decided to have a hashtag campaign, It Matters to Me, as well. Meaning, I cannot just sit on the sideline and see what happens, but let's take responsibility. And they would like to make that visible, make themselves visible throughout the city with messages, specific messages, at public intersections, bridges, shopping centers, basically saying, hey, you cannot just say, it doesn't matter to me. Who cares? I don't have a dog in that fight. Everybody has a dog in this fight. And that message is sinking. That message is take the responsibility. And so when people ask me, you know what, I know it sounds great, but it's impossible to change the mindset of the population, especially not the Bosnian population. And my answer to that is, why don't you just forget about the rest? Why don't you change yourself? How about you work on yourself? And don't worry about the rest. And if everybody does that, it happens automatically. And it can happen overnight. It can happen now. It can happen this moment if you really accept it and you believe. And then go act like that in the community. It can happen overnight. It may take 50 years, but it may happen overnight, depending how many people will actually believe.
Headed back, as we're here in Charlotte, headed back to Bosnia and Herzegovina, anything in the immediate future of things you're working on? Or?
Right, what they have lined up already is all these constitutional assemblies. I don't know what the right term is, that's what I call it. Mm-hmm. The initial meetings of the members that will elect the board, the governing board, the committee that will lead all the activities within the city or the municipality. Because of the fact that I'm not there and because of the fact that there's a month of Ramadan where people are fasting, a lot of those activities are put on hold. And a lot of things will start right at the end of the Ramadan, which is about... I know that things are scheduled from 10th of June on. And it is going to be brutal in the sense that almost every day there will be something somewhere, which means that I have to show up. Mm-hmm. And usually part of that is my address of some kind, presentation, question answering, and then they go through the process of electing the board they would like to guide them, lead them. Many of those. Also, there is a... I would like to do this. Bosnia and Herzegovina is playing Italy in soccer on June 12th, and I would like to go and show up with our people and cheer for the national team, but it interferes with all of the other activities. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it's going to happen. I also have that on Sunday evening Bosnia time at 8 p.m., 2 p.m. U.S. time. I have Facebook live feed for an hour every Sunday. I either answer questions that people might have prior to or during the live feed, or I have guests. And that has proven to be really popular. Sometimes between 200 and 600 people listen directly, but about 50,000 view it within 7 days. And so those are interesting, and we are lining up guests for each of those in the foreseeable future. There will be also, probably right after vacation times, there will be visits to many countries to start Platform for Progress in those countries like Germany and Denmark, Switzerland again, Austria, planning perhaps Australia in October. On July 27th, there will be a large event that people from Switzerland, diaspora, obviously, will organize in Sarajevo. 27th of July, they want to bring about 800 to 1,000 people in that center. They have established agreements with three TV stations to follow the event and also to bring their artists, singers who will participate in the program. It will start with an hour on Platform for Progress, but then the rest couple of hours after that will be entertainment. And that's another way to show we are in this together. And they hope that they will attract a lot of people, both domestic and from diaspora, because a lot of them actually are vacationing at that time. Mm-hmm. That's toward the end of August, beginning of September, beginning of August. This is end of July, the second half of July, and the first half of August are usually the best days for people to be there, and a lot of people are there. And also we're going to, well, there are a lot of activities anyway.
You're a busy man.
It's going to be interesting, and at the same time, I am going to work on what I'm trying to prepare here to establish some kind of presence of UNC Charlotte, not only in Bosnia, but in Southeast Europe. I would like to see if we can establish a sequence, start with one, but a sequence of graduate programs, perhaps even research lab, that could really establish us there, but also create a pipeline perhaps for our PhD program here to help us diversify our PhD body, that's the international PhD body. It's going to be also busy with that, I'm going to talk with Sarajevo School of Science and Technology, we'll talk to the University of Sarajevo and see who the best partners might be for this endeavor, but we are really serious to establish our presence there. And I think it's really important because that region is really thirsty for quality education, especially U.S.-type education offered by U.S. institutions. And it's a guarantee of quality because the Bosnia is facing a lot of issues now with diploma mills that popped up and people just buy diplomas or have some people... other people write a PhD dissertation for you. And it is clear now that something like this could happen. The fact that I am there might alleviate things and alleviate in the sense that enable something like this to get started. Of course, there are a lot of people on campus who can and are willing to help to make that happen. And I would certainly just be somebody who is maybe in the background, help establish that. But there are good people from UNC Charlotte who got our master's, and people from the U.S., young people who got their degrees in the U.S., went back, and they could be also helping as professors and our professors could teach, but also we can find the best professors from the world, and who would mind to go into such a beautiful location for a week or 2 weeks and offer a course. And even thinking about expanding not just Sarajevo, I'm looking at this Dubrovnik as a possibility, because it's such a touristy attraction, and other places in the region where could offer these programs. So it's going to be busy with that as well. Of course, I also teach regular classes online, work with my students even over the summer. And so, yeah, it's going to be busy. But I like it that way. That's the only way to live. It's cool.
Be busy and don't sleep.
Yeah, yeah. Sleep is overrated anyway.